Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 292 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy, here we are. We finally got some news about concrete news about a Star Wars movie. Concrete's in air quotes for people who can't see me.
$2 tier, you can see it.
As predicted by, well, pretty much everyone. Let's see. We got Andor coming out in 2 days. So by the time you're hearing this, you don't care about it. About this show, I mean. You didn't care about it before, but now you super don't care about it.
Yeah, now you extra don't care.
We got some super cool Marvel TV stuff. We got some video game news, shocking news. Mm-hmm. And got a whole bunch of casting things for The Acolyte. And mm-hmm. Tony Gilroy talking about season 2 of Andor. But listen, before we get all into all that, Cruiser, how you doing, man?
This week I'm doing a lot better. I've been getting into some work with my buddy Zach, working on his studio. So it's nice to be doing something and film like you have some progress in your life. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been streaming quite a bit. I'm nailing down that freaking thing. It's a whole can of worms streaming. But I'm getting that down. I've been streaming a lot. But besides that, good. Kids are good. Wife's good. How are you?
Man, I'm great. Amanda is, she's without work right now. And so she's been applying a lot of places, but she's very particular about, listen, these are the hours I need, because it's just really worked out better for our family, her being able to like get the kids off to school and all that stuff. But dude, she had something cool. The kids' school called her to sub for the first grade this past week. Yeah, it was pretty nice, man. And I was real happy for her. And she was the teacher, not the assistant. And it was the whole day. And the funny thing is that a lot of times on Fridays, that was always our day off together. And so part of me was a little bummed out, but like, man, I'm going to get all this stuff done. Well, then Henry didn't feel good, so he stayed home with me.
He knew.
Yeah. But you know what, man? Here's the thing, and this is why I even brought this up to begin with. One of the things that happens when you're a parent and your kids start to get older, they pull away from you. I mean, they love you, but they're trying to find their own way. And it can be tough, man. Well, Henry, he didn't feel terrible, but he didn't feel great. We ended up putting on Empire Strikes Back after lunch. And he had these two teddy bears of his that he really likes. And he gave one to me for it because the teddy bear whose name was Pippin wanted to hang out with me. And he ended up coming up and like laying over on me and snuggled with me. And we watched Empire. And dude, it was a fine time.
That's cool.
That movie is already pretty great. But man, you throw that whole thing into the mix and you've really got something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, Star Wars.
My little boy is finally getting good at doing like standing up on the bike. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like where you can really pump your legs and get going 7,000 miles an hour, you know? It was one of the last hurdles for him. I mean, you know, you're talking about these little things that we think about now, and like, you know, how our kids grow beyond us and don't need us to be there for all those moments and stuff. And it's cool to remember little things like that. That I wasn't with him. Like, he was with his mom, and I stayed home with the girls. And he was like, look, mom, I'm standing up. I'm doing it. Aww. And it's because he remembered me, like, hey, look, man, if you really want to go fast, you want to go up hills, you want to do things, like, you gotta stand up on that thing. You gotta really push those pedals down.
Yeah, dude,
it's just cool.
That's good on him, man. We've been working on that with our kids. It's mixed results.
Well, but, it's weird how little things like that are hard to like for some reason in our adult minds, those are the things that we think you just kind of got really quick when you were a kid. Like once you got on the bike and figure out not to fall over and all that else just came pretty quickly, but it doesn't. Like there's a while before, there's a whole confidence factor with it, first of all, and in trusting yourself on a bike. But two, like standing up is a whole nother dynamic that is like, it's a whole nother shift and you're not ready for it. And it takes a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you forget that as an adult, how much the time it took you to figure all that shit out, you know?
One thing I'm surprised that, trust me, people, we'll move on. Don't worry. One thing I'm surprised at with riding a bike that they, and this is something I want to have my kids do, is rather than focus on pedaling it first thing, is get on like the street in front of our house is sloped. Mm-hmm. Get out there on that. Straddle the bike with your feet on the ground and sort of get yourself moving.
Yeah.
And just hold your feet up off the ground a little ways so that you know you can catch yourself and figure out how to balance it.
Yeah. They actually have bikes just for that don't have pedals.
Yeah, I've seen little kids on those.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it just makes so much sense to do. Yeah. And then learn to pedal and then get out of my house.
Get a job. Where's your job?
Yeah. Where's your job, Amanda? I mean, kids. Dude, I'm just kidding. I'm so glad she hasn't had to work. I'm glad I was able to give her that opportunity. But hey, listen, speaking of giving stuff and getting stuff, how about we do this action right here? Oh, yeah. Well, listen up because I got something.
Hello.
Are you ready?
Been ready.
I got that second. What's his face from the Mandalorian? Cobb Vanth.
Yeah,
I got it. It came, and I realized. You know how I said I just didn't care about it anymore. It turns out that's not true.
Oh,
because it's still in the box, unopened at my office. Oh wait, that exactly says I don't care about it anymore. So there it is, and I have. They really said, hey, you got something? I'm like, cool, splat. Let's put it off to the side. So,
can you just return it?
I can for $6.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what do I do? Do I eat the $6? I don't know, man.
If you don't, here's the thing that seems you got to be careful of is if you don't eat the $6, we'll just sit in your house until you're long gone. You know what I mean?
No, I've actually decided I'm going to start going through the Black Series figures. One of our listeners has been after me because I kept telling him, I will send you pictures of the figures I want to get rid of. And I haven't. Yeah. And it's only been a year. And patience of a saint is what I got to say. But you know what? One of the things he was interested in was my Sheev on the throne. And I'm like, oh, I can't possibly part with that. Yeah, I'm going to let him buy it if he wants it.
Have you looked at the price of that on eBay? Because it's ridiculous.
Is it real high?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would look into that first.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Well,
maximize your profits there.
Well, I need to, man. That's the whole thing. Anyhow. So that's what I got, man. Oh, I got a new video capture card. Because I'm going to get back into streaming my video game playing. Because listen, I play a buttload of video games. And I might as well stream them and do my thing. Mm-hmm. But one thing, I'm actually starting a new whole Twitch channel and the whole bit with my Xbox username.
Yeah.
As the account instead. Get away from it. And a Twitter account with that same thing so that like the people who follow me don't have to be inundated with howdy, that's partner.
That's a good call.
Bunch of red dad stuff, you know. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. Anybody who wants to see me riding around just cussing up. Oh, I'll come back to that later. What did you get, man?
I did get something, didn't I? I too got another capture card.
Nice. Because
the one Randy suggested for me was a great capture card. It was doing really well, but then the second time I used it, it had this weird buzzing sound, and it may have been something I did wrong or something, but it just wasn't good. And I was like, well, I'm not even going to begin to like do all the diagnosis on this. I'll return to Amazon and get the one I actually wanted to get in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But it cost like $50 more than that one, you know? So I got an Elgato HD 60 S Plus.
Nice.
Which is like it's still like lower tier for Elgato, but it works really well, and it's just simple, smooth, out of the way. So
that's cool.
Got that. And my buddy Zach, though nobody but you and me are gonna care about this at all, or the capture card, but who cares? My buddy Zach, for helping him out and stuff, he's like, I want to show you a little gift for appreciation. He got me this studio light that I'm going to use for my streams. So, yeah.
It's what is that?
It's a studio light.
Oh, a studio light. Gotcha. Like yeah. An actual light. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not,
sorry.
Not like this ring light I have here.
The reason I was thinking about that is because one of the capture cards I looked at was a something, something, something light.
Oh.
No, and no. Yeah, I totally got.
No, if that was a capture card, that is one hell of a box it comes in.
Well, you know what I mean. It was what I was thinking of in my head. Yeah, no, I need to get a webcam because the only one I have is on my laptop, and I do not want to use my MacBook for streaming.
Yeah,
I just don't.
No, do you have any? I don't. Do you have any recent DSLRs or one that you could procure?
No.
Oh, say, because if you did, then you can use most of the more modern ones as a webcam. They look way better.
Yeah,
you know? Like if you want to do like for like these YouTube videos we do, or right. for streaming, like overall, plus your maneuverability where you could put it off a tripod and stuff, just better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
As you know,
as I know. Yes. So yeah, yeah. There's that. Anything else?
No. Nothing else to report on getting things. No.
Okay. Well, hey, before we jump into like the fact that Andor comes out in 2 days and nobody's going to care about this stupid episode of this stupid
show. It always
show,
happens to us.
Yeah.
Always.
You know what though? That's fine. We can take it. Yeah. We can take it. What I was going to say is like in the, what are you playing lately segment? One thing I wanted to mention, obviously I'm playing Red Dead, and I mentioned last week how Rockstar has managed to completely nerf a game that has been around forever, and I submitted a customer support thing, and naturally, which we'll get to this later, they have lots of problems right now, and my experience playing Red Dead Online is the least of their concerns. But one of the things I started playing, because our buddy Hawes kept talking about it, was Fortnite.
Oh.
So I install Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. I'd never played it before.
Did you win?
I did.
Yeah. Did you play by yourself?
Well, it was just me, but with several other actual players.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead. Keep
and on. Then a ton of bots, obviously. Mm. But yeah, dude, my very first one in, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And they what was good is they all kept, what's the word I'm looking for? They watched me after I'd kill them.
Oh, yeah. 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 What's it like? Watch your demise.
Yeah. So I won the first one. I'm like, man, that was beginner's luck. And then I won the second one. And then the third one. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one. And I'm like, okay, and then I started getting pounded on a little bit because as you get better, they keep your matchmaking changes.
Yeah. The SBMM, skill-based matchmaking. Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. In Red Dead, you know, I switched to no auto lock at all. And there is aim assist to a certain amount, which just simply amounts to it doesn't snap, doesn't lock, but it's sticky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But also it's a little forgiving. Like the reticle can be like over here and still hit him in the head. I keep turning that down on Red Dead and it has really paid off. So yeah.
I told you, man, playing Fortnite while a lot of the shooting mechanics are a little bit different, it's still a third person view, which you're used to and all the other stuff. And like it's a really fun game, and it's fun to play. I'm sure you've not bought any of the characters yet, have you? Like bought any characters yet? Yeah. Well, if you want anything but the default guy, you'll have to. or default characters, like four or five of them, I think, and they kind of cycle through whenever you don't choose one. But all the different properties and stuff they have, it's a really, really fun game. Really quick before we get into the other news we're talking about video games, I want to mention there's a game on Game Pass, and I wonder if you've looked at it or played it at all. It's called Metal Hellsinger. Have you seen it or looked into it?
No.
Yes.
The name alone intrigues me.
I think the gameplay might be interesting to you too, because here's what it is, right? It's a first-person shooter, right? But if it's got metal music playing like the whole time. It's like, I guess it's like either produced or produced. It's produced some way by Serge from System of a Down, the lead singer. But you have different things you can do. Like you can shoot. There's another like melee weapon. There's some other stuff you can do. But if you go in time with the music, it's more powerful. and like it, and it actually works better, and you get combos and shit like that, and like you heal more, and all good. Like it wants you, it wants you to use your abilities to the beat of the music, and it kind of shows you the beat you're doing as you go, as you're shooting, and like you can also do your like reload to the rhythm of the music too, and that makes it better too. It's interesting.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. Speaking of metal.
Yeah.
I recorded an episode of That's Metal, which I realized that kind of like if there's a bright center of the universe, we're the place it's furthest from. We're about as far away as you can get from another episode of That's Metal in the cycle of things. But I recorded an episode with our friend Steve Crothy from the High Potion podcast. Yeah.
But that was fun.
It was a good time, man. A good time. And yeah, it was something. Had to use Discord to do it. That platform can suck my butt. That's what it can do. It will not let you use an audio interface that's at 48K. It just will not do it. Luckily, with Loopback, I can just essentially take my audio device and make it and downsample it to 44.1.
Mm-hmm.
Bull crap. That's what that is. Anyhow, yeah, man, it was a good time. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave him some guitar tips. Just kidding.
Did you guys get along well? Was it a good day?
We did.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, because that's the first time you guys really ever talked, right?
Yeah.
Had to have been.
Yeah. Once we established the pecking order, we got along fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the alpha here? Yeah. Let me sniff your butt. Let me figure it out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, man, I do go on. But so listen, one of the things that we're going to talk about She-Hulk in a little bit, but I want to talk about Star Wars TV.
Wait, okay. did we talk about the video game news though?
We're going to come back to that. Okay, I don't want to crush him with video game stuff up front.
Gotcha.
Because I got words to say and I want to stay positive.
I got words.
I have many, many words to say. So, like I said, we're getting a lot of Acolyte casting news.
Yeah. And
listen, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know who a lot of these people are.
Me either.
And I
rarely do, be honest.
Yeah, that is no reflection on the people. That is a reflection on me being set in my ways and old. But the news.
And unplugged from pop culture.
The news that I think we can all relate to is that. After the D23 Expo last week, Disney has finally updated their official release schedule, and there is Rogue Squadron is not on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the next movie is slated to be 2025.
Come on, Matt. Actually, be in the 2020s. You can do it.
Yeah.
Come on, before I'm 40, can you do it? Can you do it? I'm not sure.
Jeez, there definitely won't be a Star Wars movie before I'm 50. Jesus.
Well, I mean, you know that for a fact now.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I'll be 50 next year.
We won't talk about that, Eric. It's okay.
Listen, buddy. It's just a number, man. Age is just a number. That's the way I act so immature that...
Yeah. It offsets.
Yeah, I've got long hair. It's the whole thing.
You shred the guitar. You play video games. You like Taylor Swift. You know, you're all over the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's got a new album coming out. And
I know. You're excited. Time. Excited.
It's
going to
be so great. It's going to be the best day of my life. Only better. Will it
get a That's Metal episode? I'm curious though.
You know what? I was realizing that I didn't do a That's Metal about Folklore and Evermore, heard like indie records, the COVID indie records.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had. I was wanting to record an episode with Brittany Brown, but she's elusive. She's like the wind.
Mm-hmm. She's like the green flash.
I'm Patrick Swayze now is what I was saying.
She's like the green flash at the beach. Everybody's looking for it at a sunset. You know what I'm talking about? They would fable green flash when the sun goes on just a right angle, a certain angle. You see a green flash before it goes down.
I've never known that.
It's probably bullshit. It's probably why.
Well, yeah. But, you know, listen, half the stuff we say on here is, so I'd say what you did, never sin, fits right in.
Yeah.
So, listen, we're obviously not surprised at all by this movie news. We were just talking about it. And Yeah, so here we are. Now, it is disappointing because, man, for as much as, like, my excitement about the movies was in a direct downward taper from The Force Awakens to The Rise of Skywalker, I still love going to the movies to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I do think having a gap will make it more exciting, make the whole experience more exciting.
And anticipation.
Yeah. But I wonder, let me ask you, do you think that the length of time is going to increase or decrease the weight of the world being on this movie's shoulders? Because one of the things we talked about with the Rebels is that when they would have their crazy release schedule, every episode that came out had to bear the weight of the world on its shoulders. But when you can watch them all together, it's a lot better watch. But with this, it's going to be the first post Skywalker saga movie that's allegedly going to be about characters we've never seen and so on and so on. About events we've never seen. Even though with Rogue Squadron, it's like, what shenanigans are they going to get up to that we haven't seen? What's the story going to be? But what do you think that gap in time is going to do?
I think it's going to quadruple that pressure. I hate to say it. It's just, the pressure was already extraordinary because of turning over a new leaf with the Skywalker saga and all that. But the anticipation will be, people's hype for it will be way higher, right? Because they'll be they waited so long and they take a break and people start thinking, I think they probably like really took time to really develop a story and really give us a cognitive like thorough line, the whole thing. And it'll always feel like it makes sense, you know? And it'll be compelling and all, it'll be great. And then, so the pre-hype will be all crazy about it. And then if it doesn't create that explosion of joy, people are like, Star Wars is really fucking dead. That's what's going to happen to a lot of people.
Yeah. I suspect you're right. And
yeah, I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that's what they'll say. So,
fortunately for us, and I think for most of our friends and most of the people listening to this show, we've managed to put ourselves in a position where the opinion of others doesn't weigh on our ability to enjoy what we like. Mm-hmm. A wise man once said, hey, ace job liking what you like. That sort of thing doesn't bother us.
Who was that wise man?
It is rough. What'd you say?
I was like, who was that wise man?
I don't know, man. He's
a legend.
A legend in his own mind. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. First, at minimum.
Yeah. Almost half a century worth of wisdom right there.
Roughly October 2023.
But I am curious about how it will be received and just the general excitement level. Let's just say, assuming that there's great trailers and it looks interesting and compelling, even though it's all new people, what do you think the general public's reaction is going to be to it?
It's hard to say, right? Because there's not going to be Han Solo in the trailer. You know what I mean? Right. Harrison Ford as Han Solo. You know, people would go just because he was returning as Han Solo. I mean, and of course, Carrie Fisher as Leia, and they're holding Luke till the end. They're not going to show us the Luke stuff, you know? And it literally was the exact literal end of the movie. So,
yeah,
like, I don't know. I hope let me ask you this. Do you feel like they should have tried to carry on another trilogy with the main characters that they did in the sequel trilogy to try to establish them as that feeling you get when you would see Luke or Han or Leia again? Or is that even possible? Because I'm asking that because if they can't do it and they had all this money thrown at it, all the people had all this circling conflict, there's talk about what their stories, how all that went, like, can some other people come in and do that? Or is that never going to be obtainable ever again where we look for these people?
I think if you do another trilogy, plainly, or if you, let me rephrase that. If you do episodes 10, 11, and 12,
yeah,
you've got to have the new big three.
Yeah.
And which is Dio, BB-8, and Ankar Plutt. But seriously, those people weren't going to make any more Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I don't think, I don't know, unless you got them 6 months after The Force Awakens came out and said, hey, do you want to sign on for three more after these? Maybe, yeah. But man, once The Last Jedi was passed and all the grief and all the everything, and then obviously with after The Rise of Skywalker, for all appearances, Daisy Ridley's like, later. And John Boyega says, nah, man, I'm all right.
And Oscar's like, maybe, but they have to like pay me a lot of money and I have to really like the story and yada yada.
Yeah. So I think that whatever they do needs to move away from this timeline. Far.
And hope they can bring that spark back.
Yeah. And the thing is, I do think that for me, Star Wars is about the Jedi and the Force. That's what sets it apart from being Star Trek. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, yeah, you got the scrappy rebels and all that, but ultimately that's what captured people's attention about it. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to include that. It's a huge part of that universe, of just how the universe, the Star Wars universe works in general. And so if you had something that had nothing about the Force, because Rogue One, I mean, that's the closest we've come to like what that might be like, because it was all characters we didn't know as far as the protagonists went. And until we saw Mon Mothma and Space Jimmy Smits. But
indeed.
You know, they still talked about the Force.
Yeah.
And
it has to be a thing, dude. It has to be. It's what makes it. You can say what you want, but the Force is what makes Star Wars Star Wars.
Right. So whatever they do, it's going to have that. I think it's going to be tough, man. Or I guess the other position you could take is maybe they'll try to go lower scale where they're not going to have the movies. They're not going to spend the budget that they have in the past, and they're going to be fine with a lower take. Because it's about
or they're going to keep selling Disney Plus subscriptions with their TV shows. Like, I'm sorry, but that's you can single-handedly point to The Mandalorian for the explosion of Disney Plus.
Well, like, sure you can,
quite literally.
Yeah. So,
I mean, but I hope they didn't do what they did with The Force Awakens. Right, The Force Awakens made a fucking ton of money, as does The Mandalorian. So I hope they don't just like, all right, now let's keep pushing this exact same fucking thing that the wheels fall off.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's something that I think, you know, it looks like from season three of The Mandalorian, the trailer we saw, that it looks like it's going to be different in the fact that, boy, you saw a bunch of helmets in this one.
Yeah. But like you said, I think on the Sith list, I think you said, talking about Baby Yoda in danger. You know what I mean?
Right. Like they're at some point.
The prevailing theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Randy asked you if they even address it. Because I think you said that they would have to. And he's like, but would they? Because that little green fucker makes a lot of money.
That's true. Well, I mean, they would find something for him to do, but it wouldn't be the danger of the week kind of thing.
I think they fucked up making him 50 years old. You know what I mean? Because he's basically a 2-year-old in human standards. You know what I mean? So you can't see him really advance with the Mandalorian that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Like, right. You know, it's going to have to be something that's 50 years from now when he's starting kindergarten.
He could do force power stuff. He's done that. But that's all it would ever be, and it would always be like a traumatic thing for him to do it. You know what I mean? Like, but it, you're not going to hear. Is there ever going to be a chance that we could hear him speak? Like, is that going to be a thing? You know, like, I know that's a discussion point, but like, I feel like that has to happen for his character and the Mandalorian's character, like to submit their bond.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
But yeah,
man, I don't know. I'm
excited for what the TV shows are coming out with, like all of them. Oh, I'm really excited for all of them. And the thing is, all those characters are established and a part of the lore that we love in Star Wars. So they have a tremendous, like, The Mandalorian came out of nowhere and kind of really, like, you know, flipped us on our heads about that. But they kept us in familiar grounds, so we didn't feel like we had gone too far. You know, like Luke Skywalker once stepped here, what a Mandalorian is, you know, stuff like that. And they would give little, you know, the inclusion of R5-D4 continuously and stuff like that. Which, by the way, we didn't mention it last week, but I don't think, but I'm really glad that R5 is getting his moment in the sun. He's co-piloting Mando's ship. Like, that's just the best. We need to make a t-shirt with that. That needs to happen somehow.
Speaking of R5 and then, you know, Peli, what's her last name? Modo?
I don't know.
But with her, I heard Hawes on Blue Harvest this week talking about Clerks 3.
Mm.
And he said that there's a scene where somebody is explaining season 2 of The Mandalorian to her character, yeah. Amy Sedaris' character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is effing hilarious.
That totally a total Kevin Smith move.
So while we're talking about TV, with Andor coming out, like I said, it'll be out essentially at the exact same time this episode goes live. I'm going to stay home from work in the morning and watch them all that morning. And I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be something pretty special, man. And
Are you staying home all day?
No. I got to go to work. Okay. I got too much going on. But, you know, the three episodes, the most they're going to be, it's last is a total of 2 hours, I bet.
Yeah. I think Hawes on Blue Harvest mentioned that the longest one he saw was 42 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that.
No, I don't listen to that show. But yeah, something like that. And so yeah. I don't think that it is going to be a big deal to go ahead and go to work after that. But again, yeah. I'm real stoked on the show. Yeah. And here we are. It looks like Tony Gilroy has confirmed that in an interview with The Wrap that the production on Andor season 2 will start in November.
Mm.
They start shooting
confident.
And so he's saying that then after that, it'll end in August and then post-production takes about a year. So, you know, that's looking at a 2024 release for season 2 of Andor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have like what, 3 shows coming out next year? So already?
Yeah, like, something like that.
2 or 3. I mean, because I'm pretty sure the, what is it? The Bad Batch is the very beginning in January, like January 4th, something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
And then The Mandalorian's coming in 2023, season 3. And Ahsoka is coming in 2023. So they probably feel covered in 2023 pretty well. I mean, they try to space the Star Wars stuff out a little bit. And then inject us with Marvel stuff in the interim.
Well, it's good segue there. Speaking of Marvel, we just had the fourth episode of She-Hulk?
I think it's the fifth. Yeah.
What'd you make of it?
It's been interesting to watch these shows like almost entirely through a woman's perspective. Cause like even whenever they have shows about women, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they still throw in the dude perspective, you know, just so like the dudes can feel like they're watching something for them.
Right.
But this show is like, it's really to let, like, it seems like anyways, to let women be seen. That's how it really sees, like in them going through their daily motions and like what it is to like struggle for them too and stuff like that. But in a comedic way that like I would imagine women just like have to laugh stupid shit off at this point. That's kind of how they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, even at the very end of the last episode, like that's what they were literally doing. Like the shit we have to go through as they're taking a drink. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's just, but it's, I felt bad for She-Hulk whenever she was in court defending her trademark or whatever, and she had to see all those dudes again.
Yeah,
and the last one's like, look, She-Hulk's great, but Jennifer's just not my. But she, I don't like her as much. It's like how I'm. It's me. That's who I am. Like I'm just the big and green. Like just say you like to talk. You like to have sex with big, tall women. Just say that.
the thing is, I mean, I think that she's cute as can be.
Yeah.
And so for me, I couldn't imagine in real life being like, nah.
No thanks.
She's not really my type.
I mean, the She-Hulk would just be a fantastic extra bonus. You know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody, like I said.
I mean, did you see the dude? Are you surprised that a person that looks as good as he does, or what like he did, would be such a douchebag? Not in our society, definitely not unsurprising.
I mean, I'll give him this: he wasn't like hateful about it.
He wasn't a dick. He was just, I don't know, brutally honest. We'll go it that way.
Yeah,
you know.
But so. I just don't understand it. I think Tatiana is just cute as the day is long.
But, like Tatiana too,
huh?
Never mind. I'm thinking of the bad girl's name, the bad chick's name.
No. Tatiana Maslany. That's her real name. I think she's cool. I really liked her in Parks and Rec, and But anyhow,
I thought the whole story about the copyright claim was, I don't know, it was just weird.
Yeah. And like you know what? There's a lot of believability to that.
Yes.
Because that's how people are in real life. And as much as it sucks, there was a time in the early days of the World Wide Web really becoming a thing. Now, listen, people, the internet existed long before the World Wide Web did. Mm-hmm. Those are two.
That's the network.
Yeah, the World Wide Web sits in the internet. Just FYI.
The internet is the infrastructure.
Right. So... Anyhow, you
created by a college and then expanded by I believe the CIA. Sorry.
Well, yes. So anyhow, okay, settle down, Al Gore. My whole point is that early on in that, I think it was one guy in particular started trying to register all these domain names. Like Disney.com, because his thing was like, I'll own this. Yeah. And then they'll have to buy it from me. Which, listen, is it opportunistic and kind of gross? Yes. But is it a pretty amazing outside-the-box way to think about making money? Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't think twice about how much the people who host those domains charge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, so... So here's something crazy, man. This is how valuable. Whenever my church, the name of my church is Enjoy Church. That's the name of it. And when we started that, changed the name to that, there were no Enjoy Churches in the United States.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, is it a popular church name now.
Oof.
So another church owned the URL or owned the domain name enjoychurch.com. And they used it as a clever... domain name. It wasn't the name of their church or anything.
Mm.
And so we wanted to buy it from them.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they did not want to come off that. And they looked at our website and were like, well, plainly you guys are rolling in money.
Uh-huh.
So they shot me some crazy price.
Of course.
And I'm like, you have lost your minds.
Yeah. No, thanks.
But I mean, that's a church. Just imagine what, your average jackass is doing. And so,
hey man, average jackasses run those churches. Don't forget
that. Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. When you're going after like a big company like Disney,
yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, schniggity diggity.
You know, let me stick it to this church.
Yeah, and so if you're going after Disney, you're gonna really like hit it hard. Yeah. As far as going in for the cash.
Of course, you're like, all right, $25 million right now. Give me for the.
Yeah. And so when you think of somebody like this who is taking this name and they did it with the intent of the recognition of the person called She-Hulk. That's the whole reason that name was valuable.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the judge ruled the way they did. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't know that it ever would have been. I don't know that it would have gotten that much traction to begin with.
Yeah, especially since everybody knew who She-Hulk was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought. Like, the whole point was she had to prove that she went by She-Hulk.
Right.
But, like, she had been called She-Hulk since she first appeared as She-Hulk.
Right. Right. But... I don't know, man. That's just, that's the nature of people. Yeah. It was an interesting twist. And I like that her woes. It's one of the things that I liked about Peter Parker as Spider-Man in, you know, the comics is that here was a guy who had all these superpowers and had these evil superpower villains getting him and also was getting picked on in high school and couldn't get his homework done and all these things. And it's like that is cool. That's a cool, relatable thing.
Speaking of a high school getting bullied and being Spider-Man, can you imagine? I mean, he's often portrayed as like between like 15 and 18, right? Somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine the willpower it takes to not just obliterate these people who've been bullying you for years and now you have these powers. You know, I know instances have happened where he's like kind of like lost it and beat up somebody, but like just imagine all the time, like literally just I could rip you in half right now, like literally.
Well, it's interesting that you say that.
Oh,
because true story, when I was young mm-hmm. in grade school, I got picked on by my friends pretty relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was heavier. They'd call me fat. And and I went to this little private school where there was one of each grade.
Oh,
you needed those people to be your friends. That is
a private school.
Because they weren't going to, there change. Wasn't like another group of kids your same age with a different homeroom teacher and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough, man. Well, years later, I started working out and all this stuff. And when I hit high school, I was real lean and muscly and all this. And I remember very well, the valedictorian of my class was sitting next to me. We were in physics. And he goes, man, remember how when we were young, we'd make fun of you all the time? Because you could kill all of us now. And I told him very honestly, don't think that's never crossed my mind.
I'm considering even more
because right it now. Had several times. And my God, if I had been a web slinging
just demigod, basically,
I think I probably would have had an even harder time not killing them.
I know, but yeah, I think that's cool to speak to Spider-Man's character even further, and as a role model to. Little kids in general is that he had, you know, this course, that great power, great responsibility line, but like, it's so funny that it's the teenager in these stories that's most willing to live by that rule. When it comes back to all these superheroes, it's the teenage kid who just wants a girl to like him. He wants not to be picked on.
Yeah.
It's cool that it worked out that way, honestly.
And so that's something that while we're talking about this show, and it's also been the nature of like the message of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also at the very first episode of She-Hulk into the second one, it looked like it was going to be the defining question mark of the whole show. Mm-hmm. Is that if you have the power and the ability to take care of people, to protect them, are you morally obligated to do so?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, man. But here's the deal. I want to say, and that applies to everything. That applies to financially.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that surprises me, like with Christians as an example. They're big on like sponsoring a child in another country, a third world country, and so on.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they do that. You know, we do that. We sponsor a couple of kids, Amanda and I do. And because we have the means, and man, oh man, it's real easy. One of the things I love about like the group that comes to our church, and they have a packet sitting out with a kid's picture on it. And that packet doesn't represent a kid. It represents that kid. Mm. And if you pick that up and take it home and don't sign up to sponsor this kid, that kid takes a few weeks before they're back in the system again. And it's like,
wow.
Because here's the deal, man. Comparatively, everybody in this country just about is grossly rich compared to somebody that doesn't have clean effing water and can't clothe their kids.
Or but even the, running water.
Yeah. But the same people who do that are like, you need to get them immigrants out of this country. Yeah.
It's pretty funny how that works.
By God, we can't have that. If you're going to come in this country, you need to do it the right way kind of thing. And it's like, look, man, maybe they can't afford
for 7 years.
Yeah, they're just trying to make a better life for their kids. But anyway, I don't want to get into that whole thing. But what I'm saying is do we have the obligation to protect people? And I'm going to, well, no, now I'm just getting political. I need to back
up.
Well, because it's one of the reasons we've gone to war
in other
countries. Yeah. It's like, well, we can't let the dictatorship beat up on those guys. We got to step in and take care of them.
No, we're the only dictatorship allowed to be around here.
We have the ability to take care of these people. We're going to do it.
Yeah, but we think it's
out of our country, though.
Well, we say we're going there to help these people, but really, a lot of time it's just for power.
Now, listen, people, I'm just carrying on as a joke. Now, I mean, there's definitely a lot of truth in this, and I certainly don't have all the answers. But my whole point is this was going to be the slant of the show. That with her conundrum was like, no, look, I'm an attorney. I just want to go and be an attorney. I went to law school. I did all this, and this is what I want to do. Well, now that you're super powerful, aren't you obligated to use that power to protect the people who can't protect themselves?
She's not really done anything with her superpower except be a lawyer. She Yeah, she got laid aggressively. She laid aggressively. And then she beat up four dudes with stolen equipment. It makes you wonder because like there's gotta be something going on. Like, what the hell was Hulk doing? What was that ship he was in? What was that? You know what I mean? What was that shit? I'm just curious. I think that ship looks familiar. Is that like a Kree ship or something? Like those.
I was wondering that. And speaking of Kree.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for Secret Invasion?
Yes, it looks cool.
Yeah, it does. Nick Fury all beat up and haggard looking.
Yeah, I mean, give me Samuel L. for a series. I'm about it, dude. Yeah. Let me see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
they also said that Bucky was coming back I think it's a movie. They remember when they had the Disney Plus day, we didn't talk about this, but like it was, I forget what the group was called, but it was Bucky, and it was the Winter Soldier, and it was the Russian dad in Black Widow, like the dad of the group.
Oh, his name? Yeah,
Detective Hopper.
Yeah, Jim Hopper.
Sheriff Hopper. Yeah, yeah. You don't mess around with Jim. Yeah. Also Black Widow's sister and Taskmaster, who was the bad guy in that movie. I believe it was a woman. She's in it. And also the bad guy, also a woman in I can't remember which, she was in another show, but they're all making a super group of some kind for a movie. I think it's a movie. It looks pretty cool though.
It does look cool. It definitely was like giving me Suicide Squad vibes.
Oh, and the fake Captain America from Falcon and Winter Soldier is in it too.
Oh, Yeah.
Yeah. Kurt Russell's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wade Russell, something like that.
I don't even
Wyatt Russell.
That's it.
Which,
I mean, those Marvel TV shows have been great. And I like that this, I like that She-Hulk is so outside of the box.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like they've all been radically different from the other.
Yeah.
Which has been pretty interesting to watch, if I'm honest.
That's pretty ballsy. Know?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. It's amazing the moves Marvel will make, but Star Wars won't.
Yeah.
And there's such a divine presence about Star Wars that keeps them from doing it or something. It's like switching around the Bible or something. It's weird.
Yeah, there's this reverence for the lore where maybe it's because
they're scared.
Maybe, but I think part of it is, you know, the Marvel stuff started in comics.
Yeah, I know.
And that dynamic of, you know, the alternate timelines and just pretend like none of this ever happened because now we're going to do this and it's over the course of decades.
Yeah.
When you take something that started with a movie.
Yeah.
Which seems so much more concrete and it was all under pretty much one person's creative direction. Mm-hmm. I guess that sort of changes the landscape. But that is a good question of why can Marvel take these chances? Now, one thing I do wonder is because the Marvel stuff is grounded in our reality.
Yeah.
Our society, our societal ways, and so on and so on, where Star Wars is not.
Yeah.
And so that seems more fanciful and it's more like Willow. You can't make a Willow movie where She-Hulk is there lamenting and not getting boned.
Yeah.
Right. That's just not how that universe works. And I think maybe that's.
You're right. It is much more high fantasy. And requires a slower buildup, but they kind of did away with that when they started making the TV shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you kind of throw that sacred concept of what it is to build up to a stuff. Because that's what we always had. We had like the 3 years, then we had like 30 years, and then we had, you know what I mean? Like it's always this buildup and between each movie, and they didn't let any of it hang between movies. They decided they were going to do yearly Star Wars movies, and then now they're making multiple shows a year for Disney Plus, so they're kind of taking away the mysticism of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's so they're making it more like Marvel, but it's taken them a while. And people, of course, Star Wars fans being who they are, aren't all adjusting correctly, I guess you could say, to allow that transition to take place.
It's tough to say, man. Yeah. But the thing is, think about this. When we're asking these questions, how interested would you be in seeing a Star Wars show that felt like She-Hulk?
Depending on what it was, like, I mean, if you gave me like a show that was, that was like Bill Burr's character. And it was in more of a day in the life of fucking Mayfield. I'd watch that. You know what I mean?
That was an excellent, excellent point. Yeah. Using him as the go-to. Because you're right. I would tolerate a lot more humor.
Or Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. So... Huh?
Do that, Disney. You sons of bitches.
Cruiser comes out of nowhere. A Day in the Life of Mayfield. I feel like that's probably the episode title right there.
There you go. Mix a little Beatles. Mix a little Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mix a little Bill Burr.
Yeah. I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Yeah. 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 It's still surprising to me that one of the most memorable things, and it's not just because he's Bill Burr in Star Wars. First, he was kind of distracting, but now that he's here, he made his character so nuanced. You know what I mean? And played it so well. and way more dramatic than I ever thought Bill Burr. I know Bill Burr's been an actor for a long time, but he's a comedian first.
Right.
And he still is. That's his main thing, is he's a comedian. But like, to just, he's a really, he was really so well acted in that episode. We talked about it a million times. We all know about the episode when we say the episode, right?
Right.
But like, you know, it's when Mando revealed his face, all kinds of shit. Well, not it wasn't. He says it's when he revealed it to people, to a man. To it wasn't, you know, originally it was IG 11, right?
Right.
Saw his face. Yeah. So, but it was just a lot of stuff happening, and it, I never would have guessed ever that that Bill Burr in space would have been one of my favorite things that have happened in Star Wars in recent memory. But it is. Just, it was so well done.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. He was a good good addition to the universe.
And goddamn Gina Carano got to go do her thing, and then we probably didn't lose that. Lost that show that he was probably going to be in.
Yeah.
You know? That's the biggest tragedy in all this. Not her, but him losing Bill Burr in that role. Well, potentially. Hopefully they find something else for him to do, because it needs to happen. They might just shove him into Mandalorian. Like, do another favor for me, Bill Burr, you know?
Now, what do you think? Are we going to get any runaway surprises in Andor where it's not about Andor? I know that we're probably going to be really focused on Mon Mothma. I'm hoping.
I mean, you definitely will be.
And not just because of the long neck and the red hair, okay?
It doesn't hurt.
There's other reasons.
But that definitely doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, no. It's
The long neck, red hair, great looks, all those good things.
Yeah, sexy voice, I don't.
All that works out.
I just mean like her character.
Oh, your character's awesome, and she's a great actress too.
And what she's doing, and like all the machinations. Do you think though that we're going to get some other complete runaway superstar out of it that we're not expecting?
I think that lady that they've kind of presented as like the female Krennic.
Uh huh.
I think she's going to be a runaway in this. She just seems really interesting, and I think she seems really interesting and really like commanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll play well against Andor, who is very, I guess you could say, commanding in his own way, but I would say more visceral, you know, and much more raw. So like, it'd be interesting to see that squeaky clean Imperial hard ass versus, you know, the whole dimension that we're used to seeing with Star Wars, you know.
Right.
It's I think it'll play well, and I think, you know, I'm not saying she's going to be the next Krennic, but I think she'll occupy a similar space, and I think it'll play well.
Right. Yeah, I think she'll be cool, and I wonder if she'll stay bad.
Maybe not.
If
who knows?
She. Yeah,
we saw runaway stars or surprises. But if you want about surprises in it, do you think we'll see Galen Erso as a surprise? But not like, maybe not like up close and personal to Cassian, but within talking to other people. Like maybe this dude who's helping Andor, maybe he had connection with Galen Erso at one point or something. You know, like there could be a lot of things. I'm just curious if they would bring that name back. Because they're definitely not going to, they definitely can't do anything with Jyn if directly tied to Cassian, but like,
right.
But, and they also said, then they also say that they're also going to get in the story how Andor met K2SO. Wasn't that said a long time ago?
Yeah, because I think he's supposed to be in the second season.
Yeah, because, but wasn't it like, wasn't it Star Wars Celebration Chicago where they showed like some really like loose, like kind of hokey footage of the Cassian Andor series or something like that?
Well, they did this loose thing of Alan Tudyk with mocap K2SO just being like irreverent and getting up close to the camera and stuff, but it wasn't anything from the show. It was just comedic.
But I felt like it was supposed to be like in reference to it, though. I don't know, but I feel like they mentioned that gets in there somehow. It'd be a shame if it didn't, because to see those two working together again would be fantastic, obviously.
Yeah, it would be neat. It would definitely be neat. I wouldn't kick it out of bed for eating crackers.
Do you think Andor at it at this point is actually involved in the High Order of the Rebellion, like with like the generals and stuff? Or is he, like, I'm sure at some point he will be, but do you think for maybe these first three or four episodes, right? The first we're watching, that's what comes out? First three episodes, do you think that it's going to be about him kind of doing a rebellion on his own?
Yeah, I think he's going to be way more of a renegade, if that's the like the question you're asking. I do. I think he's going to be way more of a renegade and
get recruited by the rebellion.
Yeah, I think that'll be more like it. And they'll
Cassianander. Yeah,
Cassianander. I think that they'll be the ones to try to like fine tune him. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll see. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but it does seem like he's starting out like more raw. I mean, yeah. Of course, that's tough to say too, because the first thing he does in Rogue One is shoot a guy in the back.
But even doing that, I still say that move seems way less reckless than the Cassian we've seen in the trailers for the show. You know, I mean, he's definitely more reckless and less careful with his actions, it seems.
Yeah. But, his actions in the trailer that we've seen or in the footage we've seen seems way more self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's a job to him. He's there to maybe do a job.
Yeah, it's like serving his revenge. Like
right.
He definitely was a part of like a mass destruction of some kind. And he's the Empire must die at all costs. No matter what. One of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably makes him sick to be like amongst them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how it couldn't if you're surrounded by the very people who destroyed your people.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited for it though. Before we go too long, we should bring up this Rockstar thing though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good point. Cause I kind of forgot about it. Yeah. So Cruiser, kind of fill us in on what the timeline of that whole thing looked like and what it's about.
Well, from what I saw, I gathered mostly from a tweet of people who had released the video clips that they had captured, right? Mm-hmm. And it was Grand Theft Auto 6, which has been long rumored to be in production, long waiting for. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been released on three different consoles. I mean, it's been a while, right? So, three different generations of consoles, I should say. And apparently even more than like 10,000 like lines of code have been hacked from Rockstar and stolen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is like all this pre-production work that we're doing on production work they're doing on the video, where it's like early, more like, I mean, some of it looks more fine-tuned footage of like not footage, but like, you know, actual gameplay and some other stuff. So it's kind of giving us all this behind the scenes stuff. And it's a shame because people are beginning, for a couple reasons. One, it's a shame because people are judging the game based off of these lines of code and like the early renderings and stuff. And it's like, right. I don't think this isn't even close to an alpha. And you're like, oh, this is gonna be fucking shit. But two, and most importantly, I should say, is the data breach not only puts Rockstar most anticipated game in danger. Are people just like straight up stealing their shit? But two, it ruins a little bit of the anticipation for it.
And it does.
And it's unfairly.
It is unfair.
You were saying about that, yeah.
No, because here's the thing, man. You've seen some people have words to say. It's one of those things, like the other day, jump on Twitter, I see this news about Rockstar, and then somehow this long ass thread about Flat Earth is in my timeline. And I'm like, what the what?
Good Lord.
How did this happen? And dude, the lengths. Of course, I know people who don't get like my faith would be like the lengths people go to convince themselves of something. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dude, I just, And it's just the going on about how stupid everybody who can't see through this. And they go all the way back to Pythagoras and all this stuff and how they're Freemasons and they shape the world that we look at. And they deduce that they're Freemasons because they see them holding a compass.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a compass for direction, but like a compass that you use to mark an arc with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because it's all about how NASA makes all this money.
Oh, yep, yeah, of course.
It all, they knew back in 1200 that this is what we need to do.
But America anyhow. Will be here in these white people are going to come over to this occupied territory in 400 years and take it all over.
Yeah,
we got this NASA space program. Yeah.
So we got to get behind these. These are going to be our people.
Yeah,
we need to become rich off of this.
Well, at least in comparison to religion and flat Earth, at least religion still has the grand mythicism of religion. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's still something you have to develop for yourself, understand yourself, and believe. Yes, that's the belief is what big part of it. But at least it's not about disproving what we've seen and what like having faith that something that you've seen with your own eyes and several documented images and many mathematicians and scientists have proven to you as to why you are completely wrong in your theory is when it comes to flat Earth it's baffling. Continued baffled is what I am with whenever I see it. It's like we go through this whole you and I go through these spells all the time. Like, how do people get caught up in such things? You know, like,
yeah,
it's kind of like one person has this thought, right? And it spreads. And like, you know, I've always kind of thought the Earth was flat too, because if you look out there, it's just straight. You know what I mean? Like, where's the curve? I'm not seeing the curve. I'm like, you realize Earth very big. You very, very small. I don't know how else to describe that to you. But that's it's going to look flat because you're so tiny. But you know, who am I? Just a simple man in the world. Why can't I see the curves? Why can't I see the curves, Eric?
But anyway,
explain me this.
But anyway, so then the rock star thing comes along, and people are saying that they deserve. Some people, mind you, are like they deserve this because they haven't been giving us any news or updates on this, and this is what they get.
Deserve, yeah,
yep, they deserve it. They deserve it because they've done a crappy job handling these games. They deserve it because they're the way they treat their employees, so on and so on. And
if they had started with the whole thing that they work their employees to death, maybe that's one thing. But to be like, oh, but they don't give us any updates and they've told us anything about it. Fuck you. That's number one. Fuck
well,
you.
This,
like, they don't owe you shit. Like, I don't understand.
And you do see some stuff, man, that, like, the entitlement of people. There's a whole other thing I was going to bring up. But, that's they. How dare they? They haven't given us anything. And by God this and by God that. And then you see people who just really don't understand how the world works. We're like, so do you think this will just lead to them scrapping the whole thing and starting over?
Yes.
No. I don't think you know how business works.
Like, they've already spent like easily over $100 million. At this point.
Yeah.
You're going to scrap all that because your code got out? No, fuck that. We'll release the game. We'll change the code. Is what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll change certain things about it. So that shit you saw in there is gone.
Like, and the thing is, like, with the rendering, and people are like, it looks so crappy. Well, okay. If you've never done video editing, and mind you, this isn't video, it's mocap and 3D animation and all this stuff. A lot of times what you do when you're working with super high res video footage is you render a lower resolution, lower bit rate copy of it. And use
old assets
in place of it.
Yeah.
Until you get your edit done and then you replace it all so that it doesn't take 10,000 years to start playing when you hit play. Well, in this case, you're not going to polish it all up until you're done. You can't spend a ton of time trying to fine-tune something that isn't going to be the final thing. But yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, how close to release was Rockstar working on Red Dead? Like a month before?
Probably the night before.
like you know, just long enough for the discs to go in production, you know? Like,
well, and that's like the thing is with most companies, man, you buy a game on day one on Blu-ray, which is what those discs are. It's going to download a big ass update. Day one.
Yeah. That's not even including the data. It's just transferring to your console.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just eventually, especially if a game's been out any length of time at all, yeah. A lot of times it's just the license you're sticking in that drive and it's going to download the whole thing. That's what happened whenever I installed Red Dead 2. When I bought it, of course, you know, mind you, it was 2 years after the game came out or whatever it was. Oh, yeah. It was a 200 gig download because it basically ignored everything that was on that disc. But what does it say?
The most baffling thing, I'm sorry, is the fact that the people actually thought that they would scrap it.
Yeah,
that's I mean, to the point where Rockstar, and you and I both liked the same tweet, came out and had to make a statement about this, exactly what we're not going to do. Like, we've been developing this thing for years. Are you nuts? Yeah. You know, like.
And to think about what this does to people's jobs.
Yes.
And puts them in jeopardy. The little guy. And all this stuff. And I can't remember who it was that I liked their tweet. Maybe it was Jordan Mason. But anyway, somebody asked him a question. Well, why did you blah, blah, blah? And they're like, well, because I'm a reporter.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I'm telling you what happened with this scenario. I'm not telling you that, hooray, I'm glad this happened. I'm letting you know that it happened.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. Why are you even talking about it and letting people know that there's footage? Because that's just further, you know, propagating the blah, 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 blah. But when you're talking about entitlement, I want to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
The Holy Swift podcast, one of my faves, man. Mm-hmm. Their whole format is they did one episode for every Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
And then they would have to go on hiatus when there's no more songs. Then the next album would come out. They'd do more episodes and then they'd stop again. Well, they came up when Wordle was like super, super popular.
Yeah.
They came up with Taylordle. And it was all Taylor Swift related stuff. And once Roe v. Wade was overturned, they ended up making a statement, redirected the site to a...
some kind of foundation
a foundation. Well, ultimately led to that, and I didn't know this until later because I saw the tweets that, so apparently at one point they had repeated a word after, you know, with huge weeks in between.
Yeah.
And then it happened again. And some person fires on him on Twitter. They said, this is the second time they've done this. So far, no response. Blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. The Krista Doyle, she works for Twitter now. She's like a brand leader. She really knows what she's doing. They handled it so well. She's like, listen, we're just normal people with jobs who had a podcast. And we're sorry that blah, blah, blah. So what we're going to do is this, instead of being like, are you effing kidding me? But then, of course, people just start dragging this person in the comments, as well they should. Because for you to think for a second that you have a right, I mean, you have a right to be up in arms, but that you're justified. That's the way, better way of putting it. To be so mad that no response so far from them. How dare they? Well, what they could have done is handed it off to somebody who would treat it with the respect it deserves. Do you hear yourself talking right now? It's a goddamn free word, too. Yeah, I'm here's what you could do. Yeah, exactly. It's totally free. Here's what you could do. You could start your own. And guess what? Somebody did. Taylordle.org.
Yeah.
There. Start your own, ass face.
I want to make one and just have the same word every day. See how long they take. See how long the hate comments come in, and see how long they keep playing it. Like maybe it'll maybe different this time. Nope, it's not.
You know what it's going to be? Remember on Parks and Rec, the episode?
It's going to be Swift.
It was, oh yeah, that'd be great. The episode where Leslie gives Ben this scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
For Valentine's Day. Was it Valentine's Day? It was some anniversary, something.
Yeah.
But it was, it started out with a cryptex that was supposed to, the,
it was the first date, I think.
The code. Well, it was celebrating something, but the code was something that perfectly encapsulated, the clue for the code for the cryptex was something about that perfectly encapsulates our third date. And everybody's like, have you tried fucks? He's like, no. Oh, are you sure? And then they never could get it. And then Ron Swanson busted it open with a hammer, but it's like, and they never go back to tell you what it was. But that's what it should be, is literally every day. Yeah. The answer is fucks.
Yeah.
It's five letters. Just, yep.
Yeah, just fucks. Yeah, that'd be great.
Or just all S's.
Yeah. or like mess with them and make it actually like the answer a six letter word, like Taylor, you know? And they're like, wait a minute, these letters, do they misspell it? Like, what's happening?
Well, yeah, that's one thing that they ended up doing on Taylor was making it to where it's more than five letters sometimes.
Yeah.
Which makes it super hard because they don't give you more guesses.
Yeah.
Jeez. Anyhow, but that just shows you people's entitlement. That's crazy to have that attitude
worse by
about
day.
Something. It is.
Worse by and, day. The more comfortable we get as a country, the more entitled we get. And then as soon as you become so entitled to petty things, is when your real things start drifting away. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Like the actual things that matter to you, or should matter to you, instead of these little bullshit, like they're actually being pulled from you.
Well, sometimes, yeah, that's done with intent.
Yeah.
You know, the powers that be are like, here, well, this, like it's on Simpsons. Yes, let them have their tartar sauce. That's what it is. Is they're like, yeah, we'll throw them this. Here you go.
Yeah. Like in this, but think about how many times something major was going on with any president in general, but specifically our last president, who was very dramatic in general. Like, think of all the things when something really bad, like some ordeal went wrong or something that he needed to work for his people, some outlandish shit that he would say that the next day to like muffle it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same. It's the same prospect. So then we switch our rage and anger. How dare you say such a thing? Forget about the actual horrible thing that happened.
Well,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Yeah, but did you see that Kanye West won't let up on Pete and Kim right now?
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
He kept calling him Skeet. And that was the thing.
Yeah.
And
it always, what I do sometimes is I don't like look at Twitter much these days, but every once in a while I like look at trending when something happens and I see how long something that actually matters stays trending and above six or different celebrity stories. Cause it's, I'm telling you that it's shocking how quick that goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, from all the things that have happened, you know, COVID or whatever, like all the stuff, when COVID was the superstar and we were actually paying attention to him like we are now, like it was in everything. But now, even though it's still going around just fine, we're not talking about it anymore.
Well, here's the deal, man.
Yeah.
It's become way more treatable. That's,
yeah, it has.
And,
it's true.
And apparently less powerful. But
true.
Now,
but
listen,
it's still, yeah, I'm sorry.
I want you to know I've reached out to Holy Swift Podcast for comment on all this, and so far, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Those buttholes.
Well, I mean, if you would just give them more money or something, maybe it could work.
Here's something interesting. They have a Patreon. You know what they did? Paused it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Here, it's paused. You can still get at the content that you know, we're supposed to get, but we're not going to keep taking your money and not putting out episodes.
I actually didn't know you could do that. I thought you just had to keep it going or cancel it. I know you could pause it.
Yep.
That's cool. Yep.
Something to think about. Anyhow, you know what else we should think about pausing? this show, episode. And by pausing, I mean stop. We've gone far enough. We've talked about everything we need to talk about this week. Yeah. So listen, be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. I'm telling you, the patrons over there, first of all, you guys kick ass. We would be lost without you for reals. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're getting some good stuff over there, and we can tell that you dig it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell your friends. If you haven't checked it out, check it out, man. Go in, kick the tires. And you know, subscribe for 1 month. Yeah. And if you don't dig it, listen, I think it's set up to where you get charged at the end of the first month.
Yeah.
So go in there and listen to everything and be like, this isn't worth $2 or $5. $8 is the top. You get all the good stuff for $8.
Be the person who eats a whole steak and then asks to return it.
Yep. One bite left. Be like, this thing's cold.
This thing is, I asked for a medium. This is medium well.
Yeah. Remember when I said I wanted gravy on my mashed potatoes? Well, I don't. I'm just going to point out there is none.
Yeah.
But anyhow, be sure to check that out. Check out our merch on TeePublic. And I guess Redbubble if you want. Follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. Watch Cruiser stream on Twitch, kicking ass and taking names, playing games and doing the thing. And
and look out for you too eventually, apparently.
Yeah, coming soon. Coming soon. I was thinking about the whole, what was the name of that game that you said?
Hellraiser or
something? No, the metal something metal.
Yeah, metal, Hellsinger.
Because in my head, I was trying to put a, like, make it, like, Surge and System of a Down doing a song about it. It's like, Xbox, play too much. I had to go to detox. Stop.
Dude, I saw a TikTok there real quick of Will Ferrell standing there. And they had Surge singing in the background of that song. And they're like, I can't unhear this. And like, I'm guessing the idea is that if you listen to Surge in that song, you hear like Will Ferrell. Like if you look at him and think about it, like their voices are similar or something. And like, I can't unhear it. It's over for me now.
I'm sitting here with a belly full of white dog shit. Anyway, guys,
crap on me.
Listen, that'll do. I got nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Don't you ever besmirch the name of Taylor Swift. I'll kill you.
The Bad Motivators.